The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 18, text number 63, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on June 10th, 2012, in Klang, Malaysia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Iti te jnanam akhyatam bhuyat bhuyataram maya vimrishyai taddhisheshena yatechchasi tathakuru iti te jnanam akhyatam Bhuyad bhuyat tarang maya Vimrishyai taddhisheshena Yachechchasi tathakuru. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Thus I've explained to you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. Purport. The Lord has already explained to Arjuna the knowledge of Brahma-Buddha. One who is in the Brahma-Buddha condition is joyful. He never laments nor does he desire anything. That is due to confidential knowledge. Krishna also discloses knowledge of the Supersoul. This is also Brahman knowledge, knowledge of Brahman, but it is superior. Hear the words, yateshchasi tata kuru, as you like, you may act, indicate that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained in all respects how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the Supersoul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the Supersoul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the Personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the Supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligence goes. That is the best way to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitan Tamsajivan
Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, Krishna is very kind. He doesn't demand that you have to surrender to him. He gives you the full information and lets you decide. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. It is no question of force. One should get higher intelligence by understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And with this higher intelligence, one can then understand what I should do. The Bhagavad Gita is called Raja Vidya. It is the topmost knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Prachakasavagamam Dharmyam, Shushukam, Gatamam Yayam. This knowledge is the king of education. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and it because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Susukam. Any intelligent person would think, what's better, happiness or misery? Do I want sukha or I want dukkha? You see, what's better? You see? Yes, sukha is better. But the problem is, what is actually dukkha, they take it as sukha. And what is actual sukha, they take it as dukkha. They have it reversed, you see. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 69. Yanasha sarabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami tasyam jagrati bhutani sadnasha pushito mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So the non-devotees, you see, when do they wake up? After sundown, you see. And they go running here to the amusement park, the cinema, you see. All kinds of sinful activities. Now the nightlife, now I can really enjoy it, you see. The devotee, he wants to go to bed early and get up early during Brahma Muhurta, before the sunrise, so he can meditate on Krishna. Many years ago, I was preaching in a small town called Norman, Oklahoma. And it was a one-man preaching center. I was running a whole preaching center all by myself as a brahmachari before I married this nice devotee here. And I had one neighbor. And I remember I was up one morning chanting my japa, you know, and outside the center. My next door neighbor, he happened to be up early, said, what are you doing up at such an ungodly hour? In material life, at least in American culture, they call early morning ungodly, you see? They have it completely reversed. I said, no, this is the godly hour, it's not ungodly, this is godly hour. So they have everything, the materialistic person, he's got everything completely backwards, you see. Papa says topsy-turvy, you see. He's got it completely reversed. What is actual happiness, he takes as misery, and what is misery, he takes as his happiness. A life of material sense gratification is a life of misery. Why? Because you work so hard to serve your bodily senses. All your life, you serve your tongue, you serve your genitals, you serve your bodily demands, And what do you get at the end? What's the reward of all this bodily service? Old age, disease, and death. That's the reward. If I offer you a job with a corporation, I said, we have really great fringe benefits. But we also have a policy called the pink slip policy. At any minute, we give you a pink slip and we take you out back and we shoot you and throw you in the dumpster. Would you like to work for such a company? They have nice fringe benefits. They give you a company car. They give you a nice office. Pulpit secretary, everything. Nice paycheck. But they have the pink slip policy. At any moment, they give you a little pink slip. But now it's your turn to go behind the office and they shoot you with a firing squad. Would you like to work for such a company? Well, that's what you're doing, sir. That's what you're doing, ma'am. You're working for such a company. It's called the material body, serving your senses. That's what you're getting. You get instant gratification, your tongue, your genital, your belly, you see, your false ego. You get instant gratification, but that little pink slip can come at any minute. And now you're kicked out by death, you see. So it's really not a very good deal. Who wants to work for such a company? But we are working for such a company, Maya Incorporated, you see. So don't work for Maya Incorporated. There's a better employer across the street called Krishna Incorporated, you see. In Krishna Incorporated, you may not get so many immediate fringe benefits. You may have to a little austerity, you know, getting up early in the morning, restricting your diet. What do you get in the end? You get an eternal existence. You gain an eternal youthful form in the transcendental pastimes of a Lord in the spiritual sky. Never to take birth again. Purnar janmana vidyate. Krishna promises in the Gita, you will never take birth again in this suffering place. In the material, in the spiritual world, there's no problem with a government that's oppressive, or all kinds of pains and sufferings, economic anxieties. There's no anxiety whatsoever. You don't even need money there. Everything is provided. Housing, the best food, the best clothing, silk, nice silk clothing. Everything is so wonderful. Beautiful entertainment going on all the time. Beautiful music, beautiful dramas, beautiful pastimes, amazing things happening. There's no pollution. There's no terrorism. There's no taxes. Nobody gets old. No, you don't even need doctors and dentists there. Nobody has cavities. Nobody gets sick. I mean, it's just an incredibly wonderful place. So, and you belong there. You're a citizen of that place. Actually, you're from that place, but you misused your... You had a dual citizenship, and you made a mistake of checking out the other citizenship in Maya's kingdom, you see. And it's confirming the prema vrivarta. The living entity turns his face away from Krishna. Maya grabs him and gives him a big slap. You see. So we've been grabbed and slapped by Maya Devi because we turned our face away from Krishna. Krishna bite her mukha. When he turns his face away from Krishna, he gets slapped by, and Maya seizes him and gives him a big slap. You see. So why remain in the clutches of Maya Devi? What's she giving you? You know, birth, death, old age, and disease, again and again and again. Do you know how long you've been in the cycle of birth and death? Does anyone here know how long you've been transmigrating in the cycle of birth and death? How many millions of lifetimes? Does anybody have a count of how many births and deaths you've taken? You can't count it. It's uncountable. You can't measure that moment in material history when you enter the material sky, the material world. You've been suffering here since time immemorial. Sometimes you're an ant. Sometimes you're an ant eater. Sometimes you're a cannibal eating human beings. Sometimes you're eaten by cannibals. You see? Sometimes you become a civilized person. Sometimes you become a demigod. Sometimes you become a dog, a cat, a fish, an orangutan. Sometimes you become a tree, a Malaysian. What is it? Palm tree. And the palm oil factory, plantation. You see? You become everything. Through all these millions of forms you're transmigrating, and finally through all these, after millions of lifetimes, you come to the human form, in which now you have the opportunity to get out of the cycle. If you will take advantage of the teachings from a bona fide guru, if you will take his teachings through your ears into your heart, accept, understand them, inquire to get a clear understanding, follow them, surrender to those instructions, then you don't take birth again, you see. You regain your original form that you once had before you foolishly turn your face away from Krishna. So that is the process. Now, it's free will. If you want to stay here and in the cycle of birth and death, no one's going to force you. See, we don't force you to... Well, no one put a gun in your head and said, come to the Hare Krishna program tonight. You see? You have a choice. And no one's keeping you. We're not locking the door and keeping you here either. You can get up and walk out any minute you like. You see? It's your choice. You have complete freedom. Krishna is giving Arjuna the freedom, and we are giving you that freedom. But we want you to understand that you're suffering in the cycle of birth and death. We want you to understand that if you will take to Krishna bhakti, you will achieve freedom from all anxieties. We can't stand to see you suffering. We can see how much you're miserable. I saw some people, they couldn't even join the kirtan. You see? We see how much you're suffering. We want you to be able to dive into this ocean of transcendental happiness. It's not for our egos. It's for your relief from all distress. We want to see that you become completely free from anxiety. That is our mission. I am simply traveling all over the world in the order of my spiritual master to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, because we want everyone to become happy. We want everyone to become liberated from all their anxieties. So, it's a very nice point made in this verse. Krishna says, deliberate on this fully. That means you should be very discriminative, intelligent, to consider it from every angle of vision. That's why we encourage you to ask the questions. It's not just some blind thing like a robot. You have to deliberate on it with your intelligence. This is one of the symptoms of a bona fide spiritual master, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 3, text 21. Tasmad gurum prapadye cha jagashu shreya uttamam shabde pare tanishtatam ramani upashamashrayam. If you want to achieve the ultimate happiness, you must take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. And then Bhagavatam describes how one becomes qualified to be a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master is that person who has understood the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation and can thus convince others of those conclusions. The spiritual master has thoroughly deliberated with his intelligence on all the Vedic teachings. And by his deliberation, he has perfectly understood the conclusion, the siddhanta of all Vedic knowledge, which is the surrender to Krishna. And the spiritual master is empowered by Krishna to convince anybody who opens their mind up to try to understand it, to convince them also of these conclusions. And then the Bhagavatam says, such great personalities who have completely surrendered under the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, nishtatam, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. So now I see some questions have come. And actually we have some questions left over from the youth forum yesterday. I promised I would answer those as well. So we'll try to get... if we get too many questions, we're going to have to... maybe ask for a few extra minutes at the end. We'll see. Okay. Why is it that we must visit the Holy Dham? You don't have to visit the Holy Dham. But it is very... I mean, it's not that if you didn't go to the Holy Dham, you can't go back to Godhead. It's not absolutely required in that sense. But it is favorable for your Krishna consciousness. Therefore, if you have the facility, you should do it. The benefit is, for those who are pujaris, you know what it's like to go on the altar. It's an amazing experience to be on there with Krishna on the altar. So when you're in the Holy Dham, you're on the altar 24 hours a day. It's like being on the altar 24 hours a day. every particle of dust of Vrindavan is more valuable than all the gold of Kuvira, the treasure of the demigods. So what we do, we get out of the cab, we immediately get down in the Vrindavan dirt and offer our obeisances, you see, because now we're in the holy abode of Krishna, where Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on at every minute. The pastimes are still there for those who have the eyes to see. So the holy dham is a very special place. Is there any specific duration in chanting the Maha Mantra, fast or slow? No. Whatever works best for you. You have to see what's the best thing. If I chant like this, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What's the best thing to get my 16 rounds in? Or you can go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You have to see what's beneficial to get 16 rounds done every day. Because as devotees, we take a vow to chant 16 rounds. So what's the most beneficial thing? To get my 16 rounds done, plus get my, you know, go to work, get my, you know, earn my livelihood, take care of my duties as a husband or a wife or a daughter or a son. What's the most practical thing to do? Just like I, you know, I have so much free time, but I have tons of writing to do. So just like you have pressure to get to work, I have pressure to do my writing every day. You see. So I don't chant Hare Krishna. I chant quickly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, like that. So you have to see what's beneficial for you. What works best for you and your schedule, but you should hear and chant each syllable. That's the key. So the speed doesn't matter, whatever is practical for you, but make sure you hear and chant every syllable, and you make sure that you're connecting with Krishna, because Krishna is present, is the name. Feel His presence. Connect with Him when you chant your japa. That's the most important thing. What happens to the mother who cannot develop the child in Krishna consciousness? Well, a child has free will. The child doesn't want to become Krishna conscious, and that's the child's free will. But the mother should become Krishna conscious no matter what happened. The mother of the child, though. Is it worthwhile doing Kriya for people? Kriya? Puja? Oh, doing. What is this word? Doing what? Kriya? Is that Kriya? Doing Kriya?
Yeah.
Kriya.
They do the Puja after
somebody passes. Oh, it's a Puja after a passing called Kriya. Okay. Shraddha. Actually, for us, the best, you see, for regular Hindus, the Shraddha ceremony is a very important thing. But for devotees, this Hare Krishna Kirtan is more potent than Shraddha, and we do it every day. So devotees don't have to do this Shraddha to the departed ancestor. It's not necessary. Just by becoming a devotee, you're automatically doing Shraddha at every minute, you see. You deliver 14 generations of forefathers just by becoming a devotee. Automatically, if you become fixed in Krishna Bhakti, you're delivering 14 generations of predecessors in your family mind. Or sometimes at 21. So you don't need to do any separate Shraddha if you're a Vaishnava. How do we do the prayer for a murdered or suicide soul? The Hare Krishna mantra gives the greatest benefit to all living entities, whether they're murdered, suicide, whatever they may be. Doesn't matter. Shishi Hare Krishna ki jai. What's the name of the deity?
Radha Govinda.
Shishi Radha Govinda ki jai. Anger, how to overcome it. Well, the first thing is, anger is not always supposed to be overcome. Sometimes you're supposed to use it. Sometimes material anger should be overcome, but spiritual anger should not be overcome. You have to use anger. When anger is appropriate, you have to use it in Krishna's service. Just like I'll give you an example. One time I was passing out some prasadam on the University Avenue in Gainesville, Florida, by the campus, the big university campus. I had a bowl of Simply Wonderfuls. You know those Simply Wonderfuls? Yeah. I was handing out assembly bundles to everybody up and down the street. So some smart aleck hippie. He thought, well, I'm going to have some fun with this Hare Krishna. Ha, ha, ha. So I hit him the ball, and he stuck his hand in it, kawam, and knocked all the sweets out in the middle of the street. Can you imagine how defense that is? So did I just go, Om Tat Sat? No. I didn't. Did I say, Om Tat Sat? Thanks a lot. No. I didn't be humble at that point. I said, now is the time for anger in Krishna's service. I didn't hit him. Like somebody might have, you know, give him a good sock in the face. You know. But I said, let me use anger to educate him and to train him. So I put my finger like this in his face. And with, I won't imitate it now because it'll probably hurt my own ears. But I yelled at him at the top of my lungs. I screamed at him, just like a Marine sergeant screaming at a new recruit. I screamed at him. I said, you better get out there and pick up those sweets right now. Like that. I zapped him with a heavy, heavy thunderbolt of anger. I mean, I really zapped him. You know what he did? He snapped out of it. His smart aleck hippie thing, he snapped out of it. He became a humble devotee. He ran out in the middle of the street and picked up all the sweets. Now, if I hadn't used anger, he would have maintained, ha, 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 ha. But my anger was so heavy. The way I zapped him with those words and that facial expression was so heavy, he was shocked and became purified by that anger. Sometimes a parent has to show anger to the child, to snap the child out of his nonsense. Sometimes a spiritual master or Guru Mata also, you see. We have to show anger. Or the students never learn. They just don't learn. They remain pig-headed or knuckle-headed. It doesn't penetrate their skull. Sometimes we have the spiritual master, it's called divine anger, you see. The beginning, Prabhupada couldn't understand when Prabhupada, the divided devotees could not understand when Prabhupada got angry. One time he was giving a lecture at a very prestigious university called MIT. You may have heard of it. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. In terms of high tech, it's the most high tech places in the whole world. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So he was debating with a Mayavadi. He said, Swamiji, it's all one. And Prabhupada didn't like that very much. Prabhupada grabbed his shirt. He said, and very angrily, he said, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? And the devotees think, oh, Swamiji's losing his temper. Call a cab. We got to get him out of here. He's losing his cool. The devotees couldn't understand the divine anger of Srila Prabhupada, that he's doing this to shock, to bring this person out of his delusion. So sometimes anger has to be used in preaching work. In training disciples, training the children, we have to show sometimes a firm position. You see. It's not that you hit, but you have to show that force of verbal strength sometimes. You see, you have to. So that's the proper utilization of anger. If someone says there is no God, then you should say, I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! You see. You have to be strong with the atheists. Don't let them overpower you. Overpower them by your strong preaching. You see. But as far as amongst devotees, dealing with devotees and our own personal comforts and discomforts, we should never become angry. Why didn't you do this for me? Why didn't you do that for me? We should be very, very humble and tolerant with the Vaishnavas, you see. Sometimes children are not... Sometimes children do not follow or listen to the parents how to overcome this problem. You have to be strong with them. At the same time, you have to be an ideal example. The parent has to be an ideal example, an acharya. Very important thing. If another Vaishnava is blaspheming the spiritual master, you should really chastise him. Prabhu, this is nonsense. How you can say this? You should shut your mouth. You see. Sometimes we have to use anger for devotees also. If they do something blasphemous, we have to be very strong. In the Vedic scriptures, the worship of demigods is recommended, and why Lord Krishna rejects. Demigod worship is for persons within the modes of material nature. It's not for persons who want to be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Srila Vyasadeva gave so many injunctions for demigod worship, and then he felt very unsatisfied. Narada Muni had to tell him, "You've done the wrong thing by teaching all these injunctions for demigod worship. You've made a mistake. You need to exclusively glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Srila Vyasadeva understood, he compiled the Bhagavatam. So this is prescriptions. I'll give you an example. Just like somebody is a psychotic person, they're nuts. They hallucinate that they have elephants circumambulating them 24 hours a day. A herd of elephants are doing parikrama around them 24 hours a day. They go to the psychiatrist and they say, "Doctor, doctor, doctor, I got these elephants circumambulating me 24 hours a day." Now the doctor could say, "Oh, that's nonsense. You're just hallucinating." But the patient then would say, "Oh, that doctor is nonsense. He doesn't understand me." And he would go away and he couldn't get cured. So the doctor says, "Oh, really? Nurse, bring your pet." And they take the note. So how many elephants are there? You know, what are their color? Are there baby elephants? Are they male? Are they female? How many are there? And this way, the patient thinks, "Oh, he understands me. He knows I have these elephants running around me." So in this way, the psychiatrist wins the faith and trust of the patient, and then gradually tells them, "But actually, it's just a hallucination," because he went along with the illusion in the beginning. You see, the patient has some faith and trust, and then by that faith and trust, now he can free him. So, for those who are materialistically inclined, the Vedas say, "Yes, come, worship this demigod," and you develop faith in the Vedas. "Oh, the Vedas said worship the demigod. You get this, I did it, and I got it, so I have faith in the Vedas." But then the Vedas say, "But actually, this is not the right thing." So it's to help someone who is materially entangled to gradually come out of it. But if you are fortunate enough to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master and realize the futility of material sense gratification, then you'll immediately give up this. It's not necessary. The demigods are just middlemen. You have that store, Walmart, here in Walmart has come to Malaysia yet? Walmart? Not yet? Okay. They've come. Huh?
Krishna also gives the demigods worship in the Bhagavad-gita. Those who have material desires, they will worship Krishna.
It says their intelligence has been stolen by illusion, written again. Demigod worship means you're approaching a middleman who's not actually the original provider of the goods. There's one businessman in the U.S. named Sam Walton. He started a company. You see, normally you go to a retail store, they buy from a wholesaler who buys from the factory. So there's two markups, factory markup and the wholesaler markup. But this Mr. Sam Walton, he started a big company where he would buy directly from the manufacturer, he would get a bigger markup and save the consumer so much money and make even more money than the other merchants were doing. And so he put so many people out of business. I think they're even coming to India now, Walmart. But it's a very big company. So he goes straight, he's now departed, but his company goes on. They go straight to the manufacturer instead of going through a middleman. So demigod worship means you're going to a middleman. Instead of going directly to the provider of everything, eko bahunam yobadadati kama, instead of going to Krishna, who is the ultimate provider of everything, you're going to a middleman. It's not necessary. Or just like in India, they have the bribe system, you see. Instead of going directly, in the U.S., we have not seen the bribe system. You just pay the government your tax, and the government officials give you, they take care of you, you see. In India, you pay your tax, and you give bribe to the government official to get your work done. So in demigod worship is like bribe system. You see? You're flattering them, but you don't need to do that. The American system, you just pay your tax to the government, And everything is covered. All you have to do is surrender to Krishna, and all the demigods will automatically give you everything you need. You don't need to give separate pujas to the demigods. It's a waste of time. You're better off to give all your puja to the Supreme Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu or Ram. In this way, everything comes, all the demigods will cooperate. You don't need to serve the person separately. Okay. Are there any chances for the spirit soul to fall down again after attaining the spiritual world? The chance is always there because free will is always there, but one will not do it. Once burned, twice shy. Do all living entities go back to the spiritual world? Yes. Prabhupada said the ultimate destiny of every jiva is to go back to Godhead. So every jiva will eventually return to Godhead. Or are there living entities who are bound to live forever in this material world? No. According to Christianity there are, but that's not correct. Burning in hell forever. No, there's no such thing. Every living entity will ultimately be delivered. So you may say, well, then I don't worry about it. I'll just be delivered when it happens. But why suffer for millions and billions of more lifetimes? Why not go back now? Is there any difference between a sannyasi initiating guru and a vanaprastha initiating guru? The vanaprastha initiating guru is protected from fall down by his wife. Many sannyasi gurus fall down. I've never heard of any. Well, actually, one vanaprastha guru did fall down, but he wasn't traveling with his wife. The wife is a fortress. She protects one against the material energy. So I always keep her with me. Even though it's hard for her to travel, I keep her with me. She's my protection, my security service. Yeah, Krishna's, if you study, actually I was shocked. One of my disciples, a brahmachari, was told in Mayapur, they said, what do you mean you have a guru who's not a married man? A married man can't be a guru, only a sannyasi can be a guru. But apparently that devotee you told him about had not read the Krishna book. To read about Krishna's guru was Sandipani Muni. And when Krishna went to the forest to gather firewood, who told Krishna to do that? Was it his spiritual master? No, it was Guru Mata ordered Krishna to go to the forest and gather the firewood. And when it was time for Dakshina, after Krishna and Balaram finished all their studies, it was time for Guru Dakshina, and Sandipani Muni had to decide what Guru Dakshina he would ask. Who did he consult? Guru Mata. Guru Mata, he asked his wife, what should we ask for Krishna and Balaram for Dakshina? So Guru Mata is a very prominent, in Vedas there are seven mothers, you see. There's the real mother from whom you take birth, you see. There's the mother earth, the mother cow. There's the queen, there's the wife of the Brahman. And there is Guru Patni, the wife of the spiritual master. So someone who says only a sannyasi can be a guru, it means he didn't read Prabhupada's books. And another interesting point is, according to Prabhupada's purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, formerly only Grihastha Brahmins could initiate disciples. That was the system formally before Lord Chaitanya taught Kiva Vipra Kiva Nashi Shudra Kene Noi. After Lord Chaitanya taught this principle, then sannyasis then were legitimatized in accepting disciples. And before that, the principle was only Grihastha Brahmins could initiate disciples. Okay. Why are you preaching around the globe? Prabhupada says that the only anxiety of the spiritual master is how to make everybody Krishna conscious. So that's why I'm traveling all over the world. I have one anxiety in my life, and that is how to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Therefore, I'm traveling all over the world. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I can't understand why people who are serving around 5 or 6 years and more in temples, Hare Nam, food for life, but they don't like to be initiated. We ask, so they say they don't force us. We will take when we've been instructed in our mind and heart. That means they don't want to surrender to Krishna. Because as soon as you become serious that yes, I must surrender now to Krishna, then Krishna within your heart will tell you this is your guru. Here he is. Now you're hearing your guru. Now you're seeing your guru. You see. It means they don't want to surrender. They just want to be a, quote, pious person in this world. But what does Rupa Goswami say in this connection? Krishna bhakti rabhita mati kriyatam yadi katopa labhyate tattala yang api muyame kalam janmakoti sukritaya na labhyate. Even if you go on as a pious, good person doing this thing and that thing, piety, for hundreds and thousands and millions of lifetimes, you'll never become liberated from this material existence. You see? Only when you become greedy for Krishna bhakti, you see? Tattalalyam, greed. You see, when you have that greed, I must become Krishna conscious. You're greedy for Krishna, you see. Then you become delivered. And then Rupa Goswami says, therefore, if this Krishna bhakti is available somewhere, you must purchase it without delay. So, someone who's actually serious to become Krishna conscious, when they see a bona fide spiritual master, immediately, I must surrender, give myself to you. You see, they immediately will surrender. Just like my godbrother Dhananjaya Prabhu, he joined the movement, and the first lecture he heard, there was time for questions and answers. He raised his hand and he said, Prabhupada, when can I get initiated? That was his first question. So that should be the mood. If that means they don't want to become a devotee. They just want to be a pious person. But a pious person cannot be delivered from birth and death. Krishna says in the Adi Purana, unless you're the devotee of the devotee, you are not my devotee. So to become a devotee of a devotee means to become initiated. Why can't we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a sannyasi form? Devotees don't want... Sannyasi is a painstaking position. It's not a position of enjoyment. Devotees don't want to see Lord Chaitanya in a painstaking position. You see, they want to see him enjoying. So therefore we worship him as a householder, not as a sannyasi. What is the difference between our sampradaya and other sampradayas? Well, we have Lord Chaitanya. And we have Prabhupada. That's the difference. You see? The other sampradayas they do not have. We have the best facility. We don't say this is the only way to become Krishna conscious, but we say it's the best way. We don't say that Rolls Royce is the only car on the road, but we say that Rolls Royce is the best car. Do you ever see Rolls Royces here in Kuala Lumpur? You do, yeah. I saw one in the UK a couple of weeks ago. You don't see them very often, but there it was, a Rolls Royce sitting on the side of the freeway. So we say this is the Rolls Royce. Not the only vehicle, but this is the Rolls Royce. If you want the very best facility for going back to Godhead, then this is where you need to be. Can we choose other sampradayas? Sure you can. If you want, you can do that. But I guarantee you, you're not going to get you're not going to get the same facility. Yeah, elsewhere that you're going to get here. You won't get the same facility. You're not going to get the same potency of Prabhupada's teachings anywhere else. Prabhupada is the most empowered, realized Vaishnava Acharya in the history of the universe. So if you want to become Krishna conscious, you want to get delivered in this lifetime, I recommend that you study Prabhupada's books and follow Prabhupada's teachings. Maybe you're initiating another sampradaya, that's all right. But you must read and follow Prabhupada's teachings, because Prabhupada is the most empowered, realized, merciful acharya in the history of the universe. After my death, will my soul continue chanting Hare Krishna? Well, it's up to you. If you're Krishna conscious, you will continue chanting Hare Krishna. If you're not, you may be chanting something else, like ruff, ruff, or meow, meow. The meow mantra. In the midst of extreme distress and obstacles in preaching Krishna consciousness, what does one do? especially if one's family, husband, parents are not in favor, when things are very bad in the life of a devotee, non-devotees look at the devotee negatively and mockingly, that Krishna kind does not improve the devotee's life, the devotee is not able to improve his situation, that the devotee's devotion was not able to invoke bhakti in the environment. This is really great mercy, you see. When the whole material situation becomes intolerable, that is the most fortunate position to be in. You see, because then you have nothing to do, you take shelter of Krishna. You see. When everything goes completely sour in the material world, you are the most fortunate of all the devotees, because now you have nothing to do except take shelter of Krishna. How do we convince a Hindu that Krishna is the supreme, especially those who are skeptical of scriptures? Well, if somebody doesn't want, if someone is not open to learning, you can't convince them. Don't waste your energy on a person who doesn't want to be convinced about anything. But I can guarantee you this, Krishna says, Mrityu sarva harashchaham, I am all devouring death. So if he doesn't want to accept that Krishna is the supreme now, he doesn't want to bow down now, I guarantee you he'll be bowing down at the time of death to Krishna. So it's better to tell him, you may not be convinced now, but at the time of death you will be forced to bow down to Krishna. So the best thing is bow down now voluntarily and become liberated from death. If you prefer death over liberation, then go ahead in your own nonsense. But if you want to be liberated and become free from death, then I would suggest you try to understand how Krishna is the supreme. Must ladies get married? Ideally, yes, because women are exploited by men. Men are very, especially in this Kali Yuga, men are lecherous beasts. And if there's a woman who's not protected, they will take advantage of her. That's a fact. So women, therefore, should always be protected by your father or husband and by your son. That's the ideal thing. Now, if a woman is really transcendental, she says, no, I want nothing to do with these bodily things, I just want to be a brahmacharini. It is possible, but it's very difficult. There are some women like that. They're very rare in our society. We don't force any woman to get married, but it's recommended to get married because it's much easier to do everything when you have a husband. It's very difficult without a husband. Very, very difficult. How to deal with the material energy, especially when you become old and sick. To have a loving husband and loving sons is very helpful when you're old and sick and nobody wants to care for you. You see. So the next question is, just by chanting the Maha Mantra, can this method help a person leave this material world? Yes. If you will continue chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. By this method, you will gradually become a pure devotee and you will go back to Godhead. If you want to speed it up, then you should learn what are the 10 namaparads and you should avoid them. The mantra will purify you in due course of time, after many lifetimes. But if you will consciously study what are the 10 namaparads and avoid the 10 namaparads, taking initiation from the bona fide spiritual master, and chanting at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna mantra every day, strictly avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, then in this very lifetime, you can go back to God and become an eternal associate of that amazing Lord who is standing on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat, blowing the fifth note on his flute in the full moon night of the Sharad season, and attracting all the gopi girls to come and dance with him, the Rasa dance. So our question, is there any reason that one should not travel around the Gopur region? Well, maybe you're a temple president and you have a duty here in Klang, for example. Or you're a pujari. You have a duty for the deities. So it's not that everyone has a duty as a traveling preacher.
No, those who are free. I'm not talking about those who are engaged.
You're asking, does everybody have to travel who's not tied down?
Is there any reason?
No, there's no reason. There's no reason why one should not totally absorb themselves in preaching.
Because the person who asked the question, why do you travel around the globe?
Yeah, but I travel, I answer that question.
I don't know whose question was.
Yeah, I don't either. But the answer is very simple, because I want to see the world Krishna conscious. I'm in great anxiety to see that people are not Krishna conscious. Everywhere I go, I see people are completely absorbed in material sense gratification. Every country of the world, they're completely absorbed in material sense gratification.
But my question is that, does it feel, is there any reason that you should not travel?
So I don't know. How can I say? It's up to that person. I don't know who he is or she. Do you feel, whoever asked that question, is there any reason I shouldn't travel? They may be too shy to say anything. If there's any reason I shouldn't be traveling all over the world, I don't think they're going to speak up. They'd be embarrassed probably. I'm going to kind of lay low. Somebody may be sitting like this, you know. No, I welcome all the questions. Don't be afraid about asking a tough question. I welcome all the questions, you see. Prabhupada will help me answer all the questions. I have Prabhupada to help me, you see. I'm just a messenger boy for Prabhupada. I'm not any great personality. I'm just a messenger boy for Prabhupada. And he'll, whatever help I need, Prabhupada, answer the questions. Prabhupada is right here to help me. So I have no problem. You can ask me the toughest questions you want, and I got Prabhupada to help me answer them. So I was told to end at 9 a.m. It's 9:07. So if there's nothing else, we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participation in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Please take this opportunity to become free of all anxiety by totally absorbing your life in the service of Krishna as a householder, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, or a brahmachari. It doesn't matter. Please, everybody, try to always remember Krishna 24 hours a day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Rajya Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.